Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. Today's kind of a special day. You hear the intro to the podcast, and that's always my friend Peyton Jones. We did that one, probably, I think, pre-COVID. But today we're going to get to talk about a couple things. Peyton's starting a church in Carlsbad, and my wife and I are attending there. So I'm talking to my pastor this morning. That's a cool
way.
Thing.
No way.
And then the other thing is he's coming out with a wonderful new book that's getting super, super response from people like Through the Word and Exponential People. We're hearing really nice things about this book, and it's called Discipology, and we're going to hear all about it. So, Peyton, welcome to the podcast.
It is so cool to be here. I listen to this podcast, you know, love it. Comes out every week. And it's an honor to be here. I'm talking to my mentor. So that's where I'm at right now.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about the church and what I'm finding. My wife and I moved from Hawaii, which is, we're in a small town, 45,000 people, a couple thousand in church. So about 5% of the population go to our church. And we used to make jokes about we could pastor the church just by walking through the mall, because everywhere you'd go, you'd run into people, and it's real huggy. And what we were doing with mini church, making disciples, was very relational. And we moved here, and the churches that we're finding in South San Diego County, some of the well-known churches are just, they don't know how to help people learn to make disciples and how to help people learn how to have friendships. And it's been a desert for us. And so coming to the church, it's just been such a blessing for us. And one of the things that has really blessed my wife and I in the last few weeks, and I hope it's okay to talk about this stuff, but we were so lonely that we asked Peyton and Bo Moffat and their wives, could we just go to lunch or to dinner for pizza or something once a month? And so they've been meeting us halfway, driving, we're driving, and we have felt just so loved, something we have not felt locally for a long time. Partly why we moved here was my daughter lived 5 miles away, and now she's in Eastern Europe doing a mission and living there. So that, went away. So it's been a really wonderful thing. And then a couple of weeks ago, we were all out to pizza and we got into talking about some church stuff. And I came away feeling like, wow, these guys have gone so far out of their way for us just to show us love and kindness. And today I got to contribute something that was meaningful to what's going on with the church. And, last night we do a kind of a digi church with people in Hawaii once a month. And Ruby was like crying over the fact that, hey, we're needed. We're not just being loved. The Lord's still using us in that. I understand the writing and all the junk I do, but to be in a relationship where it actually is doing something, I just want to say thank you to you, Peyton. And the church has been so loving to us. That's a kick too.
Well, that's so humbling to us. I mean, I didn't know some of that, but what I will say is that we are still pinching ourselves that you guys are actually with us. That's like a dream to us, because when I say Ralph is my mentor, obviously he's so many people's mentor in. All those of you who listen for that reason. But one of the things that I didn't know about Ralph until I started to get to know him was his situational leadership skills, like like his wisdom in actual day-to-day pastoral things is off the chain. I remember you and Ruby came after, this is back in the days when I was training for NAMM. And we had had this West Coast, we were in San Diego, the entire Western U.S., west of the Mississippi was here. And I had just finished a training. You and Ruby met us at the house. And I just told you, hey, I had this situation where this guy was so disrespectful during the training. Never experienced this. And to be honest, I think I handled it okay. And I asked you, what would you do in this situation? And it was so good. And I actually just told that to my brother who's been career military. And he is, you know, he studied HR and all that kind of. I told him your solution. And he goes, oh, that's really good. And, you know, what the other thing is Ruby, to know Ruby is to love her. And anyone who has heard these stories knows that Ralph and Ruby are a team, just incredible team leadership. But, you know, if you ask what Ruby Moore's gift is, her spiritual gift, it's the greatest of all gifts. Ruby Moore has the gift of love. And I mean, anywhere she goes, she just loves people. Waitresses. I mean, if we're out in public, Ruby's going to love that person and she's going to leave them with Jesus. And that's been really fun to watch.
You know what? It's interesting as you're saying that, a couple of thoughts come to mind that, you know, the thing that we talked about was how do you handle somebody who's disruptive in a meeting? And I had had a guy, I actually had a whole bunch of, when I was still a pastor in California before, you know, during the hippie days, we got John the Baptist came to church and told us about how he was the father of Jesus through the Immaculate Conception. We had
too many drugs back then.
But one time we had a Palestinian guy come in, and I was doing something about last days, I think, and talking about Israel, and he went off. And you know, I was still in my I'm afraid to confront mode, and so I kind of slipped into this. I just turned to asked three people who were like elders in our church, which we defined as you've been saved longer than the rest of them. It wasn't a job description. It was a relational thing. So I just go, well, hey, Barry, what do you think about this? And Tom, what do you think about this? And James over there, what do you think about what you just said? I let all of them talk, and it just put the guy down totally, and I didn't have to say anything. So, but as to my wife, we've worked together. I mean, we've been married now, I better not say because I'll get in trouble. we've been married since 1966. I do know that. And we were together for a couple of years after that, you know, just hanging out in college and all that. But I never discovered that she could preach until the last year that I was pastoring I started three churches, Hermosa Beach, then Kaneohe. Both of those grew to a couple thousand. So we're in a movie theater in a place called Kahala in Hawaii, and about 300 people. And so it kind of, you know, I begrudgingly let her preach. And that woman is funny when she gets a microphone in front of her. I couldn't believe it. And as a crap happened, and so she spoke like three times in the last year. And it's like, oh my gosh, all these years, five decades, we could have tapped into this and never did. But
that's the thing with the Abbey, you know, this church plant that we got in North County. My wife, I mean, we're a team, you know, we rotate, and I know you'll teach, but man, it would be great to hear Ruby teach.
Hey, you know, just saying where the Abbey is in North County, I know there's got to be some people listening to this who are in a church desert someplace. And if you're within driving distance of Carlsbad, you ought to connect with Baton or me or somebody. Because we're having a lot of fun. It's really warm and wonderful.
Yeah, we are. I mean, funny enough, this Sunday we'll be in the building. We'll finally be out of homes and we'll be in a building, and we have no idea what the Holy Spirit's going to do. I do think that there's going to be some with young people, and, you know, Ralph has already really been kind of instilling a vision for students and young people, and we just know the Lord's going to do that. I mean, shoot, half of our core team already are teenagers, so that tells you something.
Well, let's talk about the book. And you know, I always ask people on this podcast to tell about their life first. And I'm going to ask you that. I know all the story, but I want to have you tell them. First is just quickly how you came to know the Lord, and then how you got called into ministry, and then, you know, kind of a little history of where you've been, and then we'll really get into the book, you know, full on.
Yeah, and I'm so bad at this. I'm so bad at this. I always feel like I'm happy to talk about Jesus. I'm not very good at talking about myself. I get all tied up in knots. But the short story of my conversion was I was getting ready to get expelled from school for violence against teachers. I grew up in a violent home, and I had a lot of rage and anger in me. And I was always ready, you know, fight or flight. It was always fight. And a student teacher heard the teachers, because I had assaulted the principal and the vice principal and a math teacher. And the teachers are like, we really can't keep him in the school. I mean, we got to wait for him to, my mom was a teacher, so she'd always come in and fight for me. But they're like, we got to get rid of him. A student teacher from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, was doing his hours there and just started praying for me. God, give me a chance to talk to that kid. He shared the gospel with me after school one day. I went home. I asked Jesus, you know, hey, please don't come back tonight. And, you know, I would love to learn more about you. Week later, fast forward, I'm in the back of a 66 Mustang getting saved. Right. Praying the sinner's prayer. And so I tell people I got saved in style, but I must have gone to, like, you know, 5 altar calls, you know, thinking, man, I really need some saving. But I immediately started telling all my friends about Jesus. So like almost immediately, a few weeks later, I would say that I was just filled with the Holy Spirit and just began to just tell people, and they would just get saved. And I was like, okay, This is easy, right? Like, right after I got saved the next day, I called up my friend, and the conversation went something like this. Hey, man, you and me, we're going to hell, except I'm not anymore, but you are. And Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and do you want to be a Christian? And it was literally, Ralph, like, almost just like that. And the guy goes, okay. I was like, all right, great. And he did. He's still walking with Jesus today. But you know, basically, I had like this group of 30 kids in a park, and I'm just sharing the gospel with them. And my mom taught adult education at a school where Calvary Chapel is the third Calvary Chapel ever planted. It was Calvary Chapel Westminster. It originally started in Anaheim. Now they're Refuge Huntington Beach with Bill Welsh. But back then, they were meeting in this little school at night, and the youth group was in there, and I met the youth pastor. My mom said, hey, there's a Calvary Chapel. I can get you there, because I'm 15. I can't drive yet. So I go there, and the pastor, I tell him, oh, I got 30 kids. And he goes, whoa. How long have you been a Christian? And I'm like, 8-9 months? He's like, yeah, no, you need to be a student right now. So he said, why don't you do this? We'll figure out a way to get those kids here. So boom, that youth group exploded. Well, the Lord kept moving through that youth group. I mean, it was like the Jesus movement, right? I mean, that youth group grew up to about 300 kids, and we were throwing punk concerts. This is the 80s, you know, we're 80s and early 90s, throwing all these punk concerts in a community center. All these kids are getting saved. We were like the Bad News Bears of youth groups. And then my youth pastor, his wife had schizophrenia, and this is like 1991. Church didn't know what to do with mental illness back then. So they told him, hey, you can have like 6 months to a year off. I end up kind of holding the seat Meanwhile, I'm now 19 years old in college. I'm in nursing school. I think I'm going to be a missionary, go to the far side of the world. And I end up taking this youth group over. By this time, because the pastor, the youth pastor's challenges, it's grown down to 6. I come in and immediately goes down to 3. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm 19, you know, the oldest kid in there is almost 18. It's weird. But the Lord just started moving. And then, of course, my wife, Andrea, we were just dating then. She comes in, bunch of girls start coming in, and we're discipling. That was our secret sauce. We discipled. We didn't just preach. One by one, we start discipling. They start coming to faith, and that grew. And then the pastor, as I'm taking over now the high school group, the college group, the junior high group, I'm like the youth guy. The pastor has a moral failure. And because he was already in, you know, different degrees of sin, ramping up, he starts giving me, when I'm 20, 21 years old, opportunities in the pulpit. I had a preaching gift, and it far exceeded my maturity. And so here I am at what's now Refuge Huntington Beach. The church is 600 people when all this happens. And over the next year and a half, while I'm leading it, it grows to 1,000. And the Lord speaks to me. I haven't had many times the Lord prophetically spoke to me, but he really spoke to me. I was on my honeymoon with Andrew, and the Lord said, not now. This isn't what I want for you. And I just pulled out. I just came back and told the elders, Jesus talked to me. I'm not supposed to be here, but I knew I was going to the mission field. So I end up going to the mission field. I go to Martin Lloyd Jones's church. I'm the evangelist there. We start planting churches out.
So people don't know necessarily where Martin Lloyd Jones Church was. Younger people have a problem with geography, so help us out here.
Yeah, so in between England and Ireland, there's this little peninsula. It's one of the United Kingdom, one of the four kingdoms: England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. Wales is the forgotten kingdom. Very economically depressed. I always tell people, like, it's a rough place. Like, that right there is not a wrinkle. That's a scar where a rugby player put me down in the street, beat me unconscious. Kind of a rough place. Parts of Blade Runner were filmed there. The scenes on Mars were filmed in the steelworks town where Lloyd-Jones had his church. And he was a famous doctor who ended up leaving all that and becoming a preacher. And so we were there, and Anna and I spent 12 years there, just planting churches and preaching the gospel and raising up young people.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.